And one thing about if you know the Lord and you know Him as your personal Savior, you meet somebody sometimes and you may not have known them your whole life, but you start talking to them. Seems like you do. Seems like you've known them your whole life, but that's right in line with the scripture where it says His Spirit, big S, bears witness with our spirit, little s, that we are the children of God. Amen. That's why when I go off somewhere and I'm in another state and I go to a singing, and I love to do this, and I meet people, it's just like family. Yep. And that's the way God's house is supposed to be. Now, before we get into the scripture this morning, we're going to be reading in Matthew chapter number 27. I want to share with you. I want to thank the church for $10,962 to go toward our building fund. Man. Now, I'll tell you what that's going to do for us. That puts our total owed on the land down around $64,000. Okay? That means if we continue just at the pace we're on, the land will be paid off by springtime. Amen. Folks, it would take us longer than that just to pull permits and do things we need to do to prepare. That's why we've started having planning meetings again to really, and I want you to pray about this, and I mean this. We want what God wants. Amen. It's not what we want that matters. It's what does God want. How can God prepare us in this church so that we will be able to see more people saved, so that we will be able to see more homes changed and people understand this. And I wish more people in church would get a hold of this. The blood of Jesus covers anything that you ask Him to cover it. Amen. Anything. Yes. And if people could get a hold of that and recognize that's what this is about. It's not a social club, although we have a good time, don't we? Amen. It's not a restaurant, although some of you can really cook. Amen. And I enjoy all those things, but it's really all about Jesus. So thank you, church. Now, if you got your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 27, we want to read some scripture. And this is the thought that's been on my heart this week, and I really ask you to pray that God would guide me, because I want to be led by the Lord. And this is what's been on my heart, is the question, what are you doing with Jesus? Sometimes we say we know Him, sometimes we say we follow Him, but what are you doing with Him? And this scripture actually came to my heart and my mind. And I'm going to read in Matthew chapter number 27, and I'm going to start reading in the 15th verse, and I'm just going to read down to the 22nd verse, and then we'll try to go from there and bring the thought that God has given to us. But we know that Jesus was taken, and He was brought before Pilate, and they took Him as they wanted to have Him crucified. You know, it was the religious people of the day, and I want to say this before I get into the scripture, because I want to make sure that everyone here understands this. Church, we do not hate the Jews. We are not anti-Semitic, and we don't go back and blame them for crucifying the Lord. You know who crucified the Lord? I did. Okay? So let's make sure we understand that. I'm just thankful that God has allowed the grace and the message to be brought to the Gentiles. So if you're here today and you're of Jewish descent, please don't misunderstand that. I want to tell you what I believe about God's Word. I believe God blessed the Jews. He's still going to bless the Jews. He's blessing them today. He brought them back into the homeland in 1948, because we're nearing the end of time as God is going to show the whole world what He can do, okay? And I believe what the Scripture said over in the book of Genesis. He said, I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. I still believe that today. I believe it about the church, and I believe it about the Word of God. So when we get into this, please don't misunderstand. We're going through the scripture of the events that happened in that day. But in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 15, it says, now at the feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For they knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, Pilate's wife, said unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Now here's the text, if you look at the 22nd verse. It says, Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. Now, understanding the culture and the times, it was customary at the Passover that they release a prisoner. And I can just about see Pilate as he stands Jesus up before the people. Just about, I'll make sure that Jesus gets released because I'm going to pick the very worst criminal. And I'm going to stand him beside Jesus and I'm going to let the people decide. Surely if we stand Barabbas beside Jesus, the people will not crucify Jesus. Because I've looked at him and I can't find anything wrong with him. I mean, I've been warned and I've washed my hands. He said, I don't know what else to do, perhaps, but to give them the worst of the worst. And surely when we stand Barabbas, the people will say, we'll release Jesus. But there were chief priests and scribes and elders that moved through the crowd, and they persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas. Now, the scripture says he was guilty of sedition and murder. He had robbed and he had killed and he had pillaged. And no doubt he was the worst of the criminals. Remember, there were three crosses that were already prepared. The one in the middle that Jesus Christ ended up hanging on was not prepared for him. Ultimately, it was for Barabbas. Well, now Barabbas is a type of you and I. Because Jesus went to the cross and he took the place of Barabbas. And in doing so, he actually took my place. See, the scripture teaches us that he, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, if we look at this scripture, here's what we want to talk about for a few minutes. What are you doing with Jesus? Pilate asked him, well, what shall I do then with this man called Jesus? And they said, crucify him. Well, let's go through the scripture and look at it and see, number one, what did the Jews do with Jesus? In Luke chapter number 23, in verse 23 through 25, it's another account of the scripture, and I want you to hear what they said. It says, and they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he, speaking of Jesus, might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And they released unto them him that had for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they desired. And they delivered, but he delivered Jesus to their will. You see, what did the Jews do with Jesus? When he walked among them and they looked at him, they rejected him. Now consider Jesus. He was not guilty of any sin. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus walked on this earth without sin. And here's what I want us to understand. I believe that. You see, I believe it's a fundamental tenet of the Christian faith. Some people say, well, I believe Jesus was a good man. I believe what the Bible said about Jesus. The Bible said he was sinless. That's why it says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, for we have not a great high priest who was not tempted, basically, but he was without sin. He suffered and he went through all of these things, but he did it without sin, so that when we stand before him and we bring our petitions for him, he can hear us and he can feel our infirmities, but he can also stand between God, between heaven and us, and be able to offer basically support, defense. He can stand as our advocate and he can stand in our place. Jesus, guilty of no sin, the Savior, the Son of God, the Redeemer, our Master and our Lord. Well, here's Jesus. Well, consider Barabbas. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of robbery. He was a type of the world. Basically, he was a type of you and I. And they rejected Jesus, and in rejecting Jesus, here's what they rejected. They rejected the prophecy. What did they reject as prophecy? Remember that the Jews owned the Old Testament. There were scribes in that day, and here's what a scribe would do. And, you know, when I sit down with my word processor, I have a couple of things in there. I have grammar correct. I have spell check. But a scribe, when he would begin to write, if he made an error, he would start over again on the entire page. So he had to pay attention to what he wrote. Those scribes wrote those words that were penned in the Old Testament. All the words that pointed to Christ. All the words that talked about him coming. They rejected those prophecies. The owners of the Old Testament, they rejected the very words. That's why when Jesus stood before them and they said, "We are Abraham's seed," and they said, he said, "If you were from Abraham, you'd understand who I am, because Abraham wrote of me," but their eyes were spiritually blinded. They rejected the words of the forerunner. That's John the Baptist. You see, if you understand the prophecy, you also understand that there was a forerunner that was to come that would speak of one that was to follow him that was greater than him. That's why when he saw the Jesus coming, he recognized him in his spirit, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world." But they rejected the words of the forerunner. And then they rejected Jesus. You see, in John chapter number 1 and verse number 1, and we know this is in the New Testament, and we know that this is written after Jesus was crucified, but here's what the Scripture says. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." If you go over to the book of 1 John, it actually speaks of three that are in the Trinity, and it calls Jesus the Word. Because in the beginning was the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now sometimes, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but wouldn't you like to be in a place where Jesus was speaking? How would you have liked to have been on the Mount of Olives when he spoke of the Beatitudes? How would you have liked to have been in his presence when every word that came out of his mouth was living and alive, and it was powerful and it was impactful? Here's what you would have to do. You would have to bow at his feet and worship him as Lord, or you would turn and depart from him in defiance, saying, "No, I don't want Jesus. I want Barabbas." And that's what they did. See, they rejected Jesus and they crucified him. And then when they went and the tomb was empty, furthermore, what they did is they actually made up lies about him and spread those. And that's written in the Scripture in Matthew chapter number 28. So we don't want to do with Jesus what the Jews of the day did. But what about the soldiers? What about the Roman legion, the soldiers that were there, the ones that took Jesus, threw him on his back, and drove spikes through his hands and through his feet? Sometimes people could say, well, they were just following orders. There are sometimes orders that we shouldn't follow. You know, the disciples themselves in one place, when they were ridiculed for speaking about Christ, even after they had been told not to, they said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." The soldiers, what did they do with him? They did terrible things. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 27, it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall," the soldiers, "and they gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him, and took a reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him." Now, folks, all of these things are terrible, but let's remember that he had been flogged. He had been beaten and his back was ripped to shreds. And when they put this robe upon him and it sank into those sores and those cuts in his back, just about the time that it had begun to sink into and seal to his body, and they placed the crown of thorns upon his head. And you know how tender it is right in here. Yeah. And they had cut him and they had ridiculed him. They came over and they jerked that coat off after it had stuck to his bruised back.
See, they mocked him. They mocked him with a scarlet robe as if he was not a king, but we're going to mock him. They mocked him with a reed, which is like that of a scepter. They mocked him with a crown, but it was a crown of thorns. They spit upon him. They smote him on the head. And in one place it even talks about they plucked out his beard. In the 35th verse, when he was on the cross and he had a coat that had been woven in and out, they cast lots for the garment so that they wouldn't rend it in pieces. And then in the 36th verse, it says this, and sitting down, they watched him there. It's almost as if they're sitting and they're watching him on the cross in agony and anguish and pain. It was the death show. They made sport of him. And can I tell you today, there are people who want to see the church die. There are people in America that when they hear of problems in churches, they see pastors or deacons or church people have problems, it's the show to them. It's all over the news. It's fun. Can I tell you this before we move on? Church is not made up of perfect people. Church is made up of people who simply believe that the blood of Jesus is a covering for our sins. We're not great in that we're anything in ourselves. Here's what we're saying. I could not make it without Jesus Christ. But I tell you, there are people just like these soldiers. They're watching. There are those that drive by that are waiting for something to happen to the church. There are those who take glee when they see something happen with a preacher or somebody in the house of God. The bigger the name, the bigger the show. That's what they did with Jesus. What about those that pass by? Sometimes people just pass by. You know, we had people yesterday here when we were having the yard sale, and I want to tell you, church, I'm proud of you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, do you have a church? Where do you go to church? Can I tell you, that's why we do a lot of what we do. That's why we have a spring fling. That's why we have a fall festival. That's why we have a wild game banquet. That's why we have a ladies ministry, so that we can reach out into a community that is lost without Christ and try to help them find a way to a Savior that'll love them and forgive them. Sometimes people would, and I heard one lady and I was tickled. She said, oh yes, I have a church. I love my church. You know what we say? Amen. But what about that one that says, no, I hadn't been in a while? Well, come on and be a part of what we're doing here. But this is what I heard. I heard some people say, well, you know, I pass up and down this road a lot. And I see a lot of things going on here. Amen. Praise God. You know, sometimes people pass by and they mock. They look at the building and they look at the parking lot and they look at the things. And you know what they say? It's almost like this. Well, they're in there doing it again. Sometimes I've even said, what are they doing there? We worship Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what about those that pass by? Matthew chapter 27, verse 39 says, and they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They mocked him. It's almost like I've heard people say, well, if you're a Christian and you have faith, why do you ever have any problems? Why aren't all of your diseases healed? Why isn't everything perfect in your life? Can I remind you that we're under a curse and we're not going to be here forever? That this is a temporary home, and it's our opportunity while we're here to honor God for just a little while so He can bless us for eternity. They reviled Him, they mocked Him, wagging their heads. Here's what happened. They did not believe, and because they did not believe, they did not receive. They did not see, choosing not to see, choosing not to hear. And can I tell you this? I'm going to heaven because I want to go, not because I'm good, but because Jesus Christ paid the way for me to go. And all I did was say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I don't care what you've got going on in your life. I don't care what it is. You bring it to Jesus. It's under the blood. It's gone.
He can forgive any sin. He can handle any problem. But if you sit right where you're at and say, I don't want none of it, guess what? You won't have it. And those are the ones that will not go to heaven because they don't want to go.
And these are those that pass by. What about the malefactors? The malefactors were criminals. And can I tell you something? I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you ever thought about how much time you'd serve if every wrong thing you'd done, you got caught. I don't like to look up and see those blue lights behind me, and I try to be a good driver. I know some of you get behind me, and y'all don't like it. Get out of my way. I was going through Douglasville the other day, and I don't know, I probably ain't done this in 20 years. But I was sitting there at the railroad tracks, and by the time I got there, and I was running a little late, here they come, coming down. I know some of you firemen, y'all gonna not like what I'm about to tell you. But those things come down, and I looked, and that train was way off down towards Douglasville, and I said, that thing's barely moving. It's about to stop. And I pulled out, and I went around, and I looked behind me, and there was a red Taurus that had a black grill, looked like a Mustang. I said, that's a peculiar-looking Taurus. It was a fire marshal. I didn't know it till he turned that siren on. Now, they didn't give me no ticket. I might get one in the mail. I'm praying against it. But I went across there, and you know what I thought? I thought as conservative as I try to be, one bad decision. And can you know how embarrassing it would be for me if they did pull me over? You know what I'd say? I know better. You're right. But let me tell you something. You don't judge somebody else. All it's going to take is one bad decision in your life, and it can create a tidal wave of trouble and heartache, and you'll even ask the question, and I've counseled people this way, I can't believe I did that. Why did I do that? I just made a bad decision. It was just a bad choice. I want to tell you something when it comes to the malefactors and criminals. If it wasn't for the grace of God, there probably ain't many people here that wouldn't have done sometime. It's just the grace of God. You say, well, I ain't never done so-and-so, and I never will. I hope you don't. But I'll remind you what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of James, if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all. You see, when we stand before God, and we're going to stand before God and stick our chest out, no. Because the only way you can get past the blood of Jesus is to be perfect, to not have to have the blood of Jesus. Now, here's what we need to do. We need to, rather than comparing ourselves to one another, let's compare ourselves to the holiness of Christ. I'll come up short. You see, I heard a man say one time to a very prominent religious crowd, and this is the way sometimes people are, but we're not going to be this way at Hiram First Baptist Church. They would compare themselves to one another. Just like the publican. He went down to pray, and he said, Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like this other man over here. You ever seen anybody go to the altar and you say, Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have their problems? Remember the publican. He said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this man. I fast twice in the week. I tithe. I do this. I do that. Old publican, he just went down and prayed, and he said, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Scripture says that that man went out rather than the Pharisee. He went out justified. Why? Because the best we have to offer, as Brother Richard mentioned it as he was singing just a minute ago, it's filthy rags. You see, I heard this man, and he was standing before this religious crowd at a prayer breakfast, and he was just witnessing about what God had done in his life, and he made the comment. He said, all of you, or more like Adolf Hitler at your best than you are like Jesus Christ. He said people knocked over their tea glasses and made them so nervous. But can we realize it's not us, it's him? It's his mercy, it's his grace, it's his goodness. And we see Jesus on a cross, and he's hanging between two criminals. that are condemned to die, that have maybe minutes, maybe hours to live. And what did the criminals do with Jesus? In Luke chapter 23, verse number 39, it says, "And one of the malefactors or criminals which were hanged, they railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." See, one of them he rejected and he mocked Christ, even as it were on his deathbed. You ever tried to witness to somebody that you knew they were dying, the doctors told them they were dying, and their heart is hard, it's stone cold, and they don't want nothing to do with Christ? Then they won't have him. But all we pray for, and you know what I pray for if I'm going to witness to somebody like that? That God, please soften their heart. Please speak to them. I know your grace is sufficient. Lord, just get them to where they'll just call out to you. What about the other? Luke chapter 23 and verse 40, it says, "But the other answering rebuked the other criminal, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Let me tell you what it takes to get saved. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You don't come and make a deal with God and negotiate, and you don't give enough, you don't do enough. You just say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, one believed and one received. Can I tell you it's different today? Do y'all remember years ago, some of you, when you were growing up, you'd go to the church house and there was just a respect for the house of God. Amen. There was a respect for the grounds. There wasn't any people pulling up in the churchyard and throwing beer cans out the corner, out the window. They had too much respect for the house of God. You could leave the doors unlocked and people wouldn't steal from church. It's almost like this: I'll steal from you while you're at church, but I'm not stealing from God. They just a respect. That's changing. Sometimes we come in here and we find where they've cut the donuts in the parking lot and slung the gravel up on the porch. We find things in the yard that we shouldn't find in the yard. Because more people are getting like that first one. He rejects and he mocks. And here's something I want us to understand about these crosses. There are three men hanging there. In a short period of time, all are going to die. All of them. In a short period of time, stepped out into eternity. Now, of these three, one was the darling Son of God. He hung there. He died for me. He died for you. He took the place of Barabbas, but not just Barabbas, but you and me. One of them mocked, and he says, "I'm not having any of it." He died. He went to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't like that. I don't like talking about that. I don't think he's going to be in heaven. He didn't want to go. What about the other one? He said, "Lord, remember me." I can almost see him, you know. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can you imagine this criminal opening his eyes? Because here's what I believe happens in death. As soon as we close our eyes here, we open them in eternity. He opened his eyes. You know, I've heard all kinds of stories about St. Peter, whether he's at the gate or not, I don't know. I think that's just a tale. There ain't no Bible for that, right? But can you imagine a criminal opening his eyes in heaven and saying, "Wow." Y'all have heard that song, "I Can Only Imagine." It's going to be more. The Bible says, "Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him." But he says, "But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit." There's a whole lot of good things here. We're going to have those things there. It's going to be better than, more than you can possibly expect. And here's a criminal. I don't know about you, but here's me. God, I don't deserve all this. God, I hadn't earned this. God, I can't believe this. But let me tell you something. It just comes right down to this. What are you going to do with Jesus?
You see what the Jews did, and they did this, fulfilling Scripture. I want to tell you something, and we did it. Every time that we reject Christ, we put him on the cross. What did the soldiers do? Oh, they were hard on him. You ever had anybody being hard on you when you're trying to do the right thing? There's a lot of things that we deal with in life. I want to tell you, there's some things I don't like having to deal with. But I hadn't suffered like Jesus did. What about those that passed by? What about those that are against us and the things we're trying to do for God? We're going to have to deal with those people, but we're not going to stop because of those people. These malefactors, these criminals, you say, well, and I've actually had people say this to me, if you just knew what I did, you wouldn't be nice to me. If you just knew what I did, you wouldn't say that Jesus would forgive me. Can I tell you, he already knows. And here's what one of the things that Jesus said when he was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he looked ahead and he spoke these words, if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? In other words, if they crucify Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, the power of God in their presence, what's going to happen in 2018 in a world that has so much more to throw at you? So the question really is not, what did they do with Jesus? Because that happened and it's gone, it's behind us. Right now, Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Are you going to act different than the Jews? Will you accept him as prophet and as priest and as king? Are you different than the soldiers? Or do you mock at the Word of God? See, I've been in church long enough, I've seen people laugh at the preacher. I've seen people testify and tears rolling down their face, praising the Lord. And people think it's funny. It's not funny when you feel it.
Amen.
Paul said this, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Not ashamed. Are you going to be like those that pass by and wag your head? Or simply will you bow your head? Bow to the Lord. Two thieves. One accepted him and one rejected him. Brother Jeff, if you would come on and get your guitar ready for a song. I guess the question is, which one are you going to be like? Are you going to be like the one that rejects God, rejects Christ? Sometimes people say, well, I'm an atheist. Really? Really? You know, when I see the sun rise, I know there's God. When I look at God's creation, I know he's real. When I look into the eyes of a little child, I know he's real. See, if you got little children, I want to tell you something. I don't know what you believe, but I don't see how in the world you can look into the eyes of your little children. As they come up to you and they look up at you and you look down at them and not know that there's a God. David said, he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. It's not about you being good. It's not about what you think about all of your baggage. It's not about you having enough to offer. It's simply about, will you say, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Are you going to accept him? Or are you going to reject him? I'm going to ask everyone, if you would, please, to rise to your feet. I ask you if God spoke to your heart. You're here this morning. You'd like to pray. We'd love to pray with you, because the most important thing we could ever do at Hiram First Baptist Church is to introduce someone to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As Brother Jeff says, would you please come? Would you pray? Would you take somebody by the hand that loves you? Would you come down and take one of these ladies or one of these gentlemen by the hand and say, would you just pray with me? I don't want to be in danger of not being able to spend eternity with God.
You weren't made for this. You're only going to be here a short period of time. You were made for Him. Would you come, Jeff Jones?
Desire to follow Jesus. It's my desire to live for Him. Often I failed Him and caused Him shame, but it's my desire to live for Him. If you where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can have this world. It's my desire to live for Him. It's my desire to help someone today. Someone who lost their way. Because one day I was lost, but oh, thank God I found the Lord. It's my desire. Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can have, take this world, it's where it's my desire to live for Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. You can have, take this world, its wealth and its riches. I don't need its fame, 'cause it's my desire. It's my desire. It's my desire. Jesus. No one loves me quite like the way you do. Each day you bring your mercies all brand new. There's no doubt I couldn't make it without you. I love you, Jesus. My love for you grows deeper every day. Loving you makes me happy in every way. The sacrifice you gave your life, what else can I say? 'Cause I love you, Jesus. My Jesus, I can truly say you are my closest friend. Oh, it's good to know that your love will never end. You gave me hope and you forgive me of my sins. I love you, Jesus. How I feel. All I know is that your love for me is real. With your help, I can lead someone else to kneel and accept you, Jesus. Oh, God wants you to know that He loves you so. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you less. Oh, He loved you so much that He gave you His Son so you could receive God's best, the love of Jesus. I can lead someone else to kneel, accept you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I need you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you, Jesus.
You may be seated.
Amen.
I want to ask Cameron Smith if would come up, please. Cameron, and ask Cameron's family to come up also. Cameron is leaving tomorrow, my understanding. Is that correct? He's going into the Army, and he's actually, amen. What are you going in there for? You going to the Army?
Amen.
Thank you, church. You know, we want to have a special prayer. You know, we're going to pray that God's hand would be on him.
Yes.
I want to ask some of our deacons and men, if you would, please come up. And we're going to pray for Cameron. We're going to pray for Mom, too.
Yes.
Okay, now, I know Dad's taking it a little bit different, okay?
I don't blame you.
But, you know, we're going to pray for them that God would protect.
Yes.
And God would put his hand on him.
Yeah.
I know a pastor, I heard him preach in a revival. He had a young man in his church had to go to Iraq, and he said they gathered around him and prayed. And he said the first thing they did when they got over there, he said they laid his hands on that Humvee and he started praying over it.
Yeah.
Amen.
People thought it was funny till it was the last one in that tire column that didn't get blown up. You know what people said? They said, we want to ride in that one.
That one. Amen. That's right. Amen.
We believe in the power of God, and we're going to pray God's hand on this young man. We're going to pray for this mom.
Amen.
Because I know, I understand, I got a wife that, and it's kind of like this. A mother's never happier than her least happy child.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So let's pray for this family. I'm going to ask Brother Tom if you would lead us in prayer. Brother Tom Payne, if you would finish as I pray. Go ahead.
Father God, we come to, all of us come together, God, to, we want you to put your hands on this young man, God. We want you to touch him. Lord, he's going into the armed service, God, to be a service to our country. Without these people, God, this country wouldn't be protected like it is. And we thank you, God, for men like this, God, that would join the armed services and go into faraway places, God, and fight a war, God, to keep them from coming over here and attacking us, God. And Lord, we just thank you so much for this young man, God. And I'm going to ask you right now, God, to keep this young man safe.
Yes.
At all times when he's serving there, God.
Amen.
Look over him. Take care of him. He's in your hand, Jesus. So we just ask you, in Jesus' name, to take care of him. Amen.